book of Romans, chapter number 11. The book of Romans, chapter number 11. And you're able to, you find that place, let's stand as we give reverence to reading the Word of God. Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. I appreciate everybody again coming out and being with us today. Boy, what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And thank God I am glad for that still small voice that she is singing about. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I appreciate days of God in heaven. I thank God that He's still speaking and still speaking in the hearts of His people. You say, brother, you ever heard His voice? I hear it every time I read this Bible. Every time I open up the old King James Bible, I get to reading. I hear the voice of God. And you say, well, I'd like to hear it audibly. Well, just read it out loud when you read it. And you'll hear the voice. I mean, that's what that is. This is God. I never have had any direct revelation. And I doubt that you have either. Amen. And thank God we don't have to have any direct revelation. There's no need for that in our day. We've got the complete canon of Scripture. Amen. And so we read through it, and God speaks to us, and then we pray and we talk to God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost of God uses that, and He'll deal with us about a particular area of our lives, and I'm going to trust He's going to do it again today too. Amen. Bible said in Romans chapter 11, I'm interested there reading in verse number 33 and to the end of the chapter, just four little short verses here. Romans chapter number 11, and if you know me at all, Romans 11 happens to be one of my favorite chapters in the King James Bible. That's the future restoration of the nation of Israel. And thank God, if us being cast away or them being cast away be for our good, how much more shall the gathering of them be for us as well. Notice about Bible said, verse 33, he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Boy, I like that the Holy Ghost saw fit. I ought to put an exclamation point right there. You ought to say that with emphasis, in other words. He said in verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Verse 36 said, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning one more time. And God, I thank you for being in the house of the Lord. I thank you for the help that we got this morning. I thank you for the good Sunday school teacher. I thank you, God, for the reminder, God, of how many times in our life had God that you spread a table out for us. I pray this morning that God that you'd help us, Lord, one more time, God, to say only the things that would honor you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be full of God, Lord, for the unction of the Holy One. I pray anoint us afresh today. Help me not to say anything dumb or foolish or out of the way. But God, I pray, Lord, if they be folks here and God, they lost and undone, I pray this should be the morning and turn their eyes to Calvary. Oh God, I pray, convict their heart and break them of their sin and let them see where they stand at. Father, I do pray. Thank you, Lord. I need your help now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in that last verse, in verse number 36. The Apostle Paul says it simply like this. He said, for of him and through him and to him are all things. And then this little phrase right after that, he said, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I got to thinking about that little phrase, to whom be glory forever. He said, amen. I got to thinking about all the times that you can read through your Bible about the different things of glory. And that word glory simply means this. It means to hold in high estimation. It means to give honor, reverence, due respect, and all those things tied up in and one. In other words, whenever we're giving glory to God, and we are esteeming Christ as He is, and we're esteeming ourselves as we are. And it's only, friend, and when we get to esteeming Christ as He is, and we get to seeing us for what we are, and we really get to appreciating what Christ has done for our soul. And so the Apostle Paul said to us, he said, to whom be glory. I want to say this to you. I would to God that the glory of God would be on our mind at the same way it was on the mind of Moses. I mean, that'd have to be a pretty good time. And Moses wasn't much interested. I mean, he wasn't just going around talking about Canaan land all the time. That wasn't what was on his heart, on the manna and all of those sort of things. But what was on his mind and his motivation was, he said, show me thy glory. Amen. I mean, thank God. Listen, he had a desire to see it. And the Bible said that when he got put in the cleft of the rock, that the glory of God passed by. I don't know about anybody else, but I can tell you this. And boy, I have more of a desire today to see the glory of God pass by our way than I've ever had in my life. And what I know is this, thank God, is with the glory of God, folks get help. And without the glory of God, they don't. Amen. And with the glory of God, preaching is something more than that. And without the glory of God, it's not. And with the glory of God, singing reaches right down to the soul and begins to help folks. And without the glory of God, it don't. I'm telling you, if there's ever a time and we ought to be consumed with the glory of God, I want it on our mind. Amen. I want it on the ministry of this church. I thought, I'll tell you what I'd like for it to be like. I'd like for it to be like it was on the tabernacle. And when the Bible said that the glory of God had filled the place so that they could not stand to enter. Amen. I'd like to have the glory of God like it was on the temple. And when the glory of God got to flooding the place, and the Bible said that the priest could not stand to minister. I'd like to have, listen, I mean, wouldn't that be something to see that? Amen. But oh, there's a better one than that. I mean, listen, you remember over there in Haggai at chapter number 2, when they had a little building they didn't think it looked like much, but the Lord made them a promise. He said the glory of this latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former. Oh, listen, friend, you say, preacher, the glory of God never did fall down on that latter temple. I didn't have to fall down, it walked in. Amen. I mean, thank God, there was a day after the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh had done what nobody else had seen. And they had only seen the essence of the presence of the descension of the Spirit of God. But boy, when the Lord walked in, all of a sudden it got glorious then. I mean, whenever the very manifestation, y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, the very manifestation of God, a God in the flesh, had dwelled among us. And now listen, I'll tell you what he done for us from then. And now I'd like to see that on us. And I think it ought to be on us. Don't you think so? I'll tell you what the Bible said, Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Hey, thank God we are the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost of God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And so I'd say this, and the glory of God that moves in us, and sometimes it ought to move on us. Amen. I mean, I'd like the glory of God to consume the ministries of the church. I'd like it to consume our mind. I'd like it to consume our mouths. Amen. I'd like for it to be like, you get reading about David, and David can't never go very far until he starts talking about the glory of God. He said, listen, everywhere I look, I see the glory of God. And I got to thinking about this. If you was here Wednesday night, how many of you thought about that turtle all week long? Amen. Well, let me say it to you like this. I got to thinking about what Nathaniel said. He said, you can't tell your pastor nothing because he'll steal it. And he's right. Amen. If it's good, thank God. If it helped you, it probably helped somebody else. Amen. And so if you tell it around me, I'll probably tell it around somebody else. Amen. I'm simply saying this. I think there's some folks in the house of God that they don't understand why they ought to give God glory. And so if we can, there's 4 times in the New Testament where those words appear. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Only 4 times. And the Apostle Paul records every one. And thank God, in other words, he's helping us to
to know what we ought to be giving glory to God for. Amen. And right here, watch what the Bible says in verse 36. He said, for of him and through him and to him are all things. I'll tell you this, you ought to give him a little glory for creation's sake. Amen. I mean, let's thank God. Hey, friend, I'll tell you what he said. He said, for of him. That is to say, everything you see. Boy, don't you like? I mean, when you walk outside, don't you like it? Amen. I'll tell you what I was watching this morning. I got to watching this at the house while I was praying. And the wind was a-blowing, and you know, everything was just sort of, you know how gently the leaves just sort of, I mean, they just sort of move with everything that's happening around them. But right in the middle of that, there was one leaf that I was watching. It was going just like that. Everybody else was just, gently moving, and one leaf was just giving it all it had. And now, boy, I thought, thank God, if that's what it looks like. I mean, listen, friend, how you getting to sitting outside, and now we can be here today and have a good time in the Lord. But boy, I thank God when God gets to move it and the Holy Ghost gets to help it. I feel like that one little leaf, it's just time to sway back and forth and for the glory of God. I'm saying this, thank God. If you ain't got nothing else to give God glory for, you got to be able to give him glory for creation. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what he said about it. The Bible said that whenever he saw creation, he said that it was good. Amen. And I thank God for it. You say, where the idea come from? Out from his own self. Amen. Now here's what the Bible said. And notice what that verse before it said. It said, for who hath been his counselor? Hey, was nobody told him nothing about this thing. Hey, was nobody advised God on how to make a human body. God didn't need no help. Oh, my friend, on how to form the world. God didn't need nobody's advice on how to make the sun where it was. He didn't need any astrophysicists how to help him to tell how he needed to tilt the world. And no, he didn't ask nobody for nothing. And thank God one day he just done it. And you say, why? And the Bible said, of his own will, how begat he us. Amen. And you say, what's the motive? I absolutely no idea. Amen. But I'll tell you what it said in Ephesians. Over there it says, and that he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen. And so, amen, here we are today. And the thank God we ought to be a shouting around for the glory of God. It says, first of all, for of him. That means he's the origination. I'll tell you, thank God, you'll never hear me give no glory to Darwin. Amen. I'll never shout her out, thank God, to any of the rest of them reprobates. Hey, friend, that try to take down creation as if they had any idea. Amen. I'll take the word of the only person who was there when it happened. Amen. I believe God, thank God. I believe what the Bible says. I believe creation ought to stir us up and to give glory to God. I'll tell you why I think there's so many atheists in our nation these days. It's because they're cave dwellers. They dwell in city skyscrapers. They never look up and see the stars. They never feel the gentle breeze. They never see God's creation working in harmony. I never have met too many atheists that's ever stepped outside and looked around the goodness of God. You can't step outside some morning. Hey, listen. Just as soon as the day breaks and the birds get to chirping, you know what they're saying? Hey, glory to God. Hey, glory to God. Amen. I mean, you get up there, and preacher Savage and the sun gets to coming up at four, at the full noon, and all of a sudden, and those cicadas and everything else get to saying, glory to God. Hey, glory to God. And the wind blows spies I done shed and moves on the trees and they sway. And they say, glory to God. And glory to God. Hey, listen, thank God for it. I mean, everything you see it says glory to God, except for the one thing that ought to say it the most. That's me and you, amen. If there's anybody that ought to be able to step back and say glory to God, it ought to be me and you, amen. Don't you think that's right? Oh, it says for of him. He's origination. But boy, I like that next part. It said through him. Hey, man, listen. Y'all understand. Praise. I'm about to preach myself happy right there. Let me say this to you. Y'all understand how that all the Lord ever have to do is just say the word and everything as you know it will just cease to exist just like that. As a matter of time, they'll come and die. How that the elements of this earth, how they will melt with a fervent heat. But right now we continue and we do it through him. And the Bible said, thank God. And John chapter number 3, verse number 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, amen, that might be saved. And Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, that said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That verse 9 says, that much more than being justified, that much more being justified, it said we should be saved through faith. I messed that up. Let me read it to you. How about that? I'm just back here, just a few verses. I'll read verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by blood, we shall be saved. Amen. Listen, friend, we shall be saved through the wrath that is to come. I've messed that thing up royally. Here's what he said. We shall be saved from wrath through him. There we go. Y'all was helping me on that one, wasn't you? Amen. That's why we got a Bible and we don't go on memory. Amen. Let me say this to you. I mean, whatever we got it through him. And in Romans 8:37, it says, nay, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. Over in 1 John, it said we live through him. The Bible said in him we live and move and have our being. I'm simply saying this. Thank God, I'm going to thank him, and not just for starting it, but I'm going to thank him for continuing it and being kind to us right where we're at. Amen. Oh, listen, but there's a better part than that. It said, for it's of him, it's through him, and creation one day's to him. I don't know if you know it, but everything's headed for one direction. Everything's going to give an answer to a thrice holy God. I mean, listen, creation, everything created, it's going to stand before God one day, and you're going to have to give an answer to him. Amen. And I thank God I already gave my answer. Amen. I said, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God. If you ain't got nothing else to give God glory for, hey, you ought to give God glory for creation. Amen. But then it gets better than that. Look with me, if you will, in Galatians chapter 1 and Galatians chapter number 1. Let me just share this with you here and thank God for it. Galatians chapter number 1, the Bible said this. I mean, what a blessed passage of Scripture. He said in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 4. It said, who gave himself for our sins, that he might be that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Verse 5 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, when I get to thinking about creation, I feel like I ought to give him glory. But when I get to thinking about salvation, listen, if you ain't got nothing else to give God glory for, you get to thinking about salvation, and y'all want to just step back every now and then. I mean, even if you don't shout around other folk, I'll tell you what y'all do. Hey, y'all get in your car, I'll drive down the road about 5 miles, I'll roll your window up and just shout out for the glory of God, and knowing that you deserve to die and go to hell, but thank God he saved you anyhow. Amen. I mean, every now and then I'll stir up something, don't you think? I'll tell you what he said. He said he gave himself for us. Oh, listen, I thank God for it. I got to thinking about that scripture, and I thought over in the book of Leviticus 16, and when it talks about the Day of Atonement, and that just mirrors it. In other words, it looks the same. But thank God, here's the difference. From the Day of Atonement to Calvary, Mike, it's that thank God we didn't use a scapegoat and then a better one or a clean one. But we had one lamb who gave his life for all. He was both the offering and the offerer. Amen. He gave himself for us. I got thinking about this old story I read a long time ago about a World War II vet. And it said about this vet, Brother Matt, it said that he got his own arm blowed off over there in one of the wars. And when he came back, they had a parade. And you've seen him before. He had his little shirt sleeve, Paul, had his little shirt sleeve pinned up where his arm was gone. And it said this feller came up to it and he said, "Sir, I want to thank you for your service." And he said, "But I'm sorry for the loss of your arm." And he said, "Young man, thank you for the first." He said, "But you're wrong about the second." He said, "I did not lose my arm." He said, "I gave it." Amen. And now, boy, I'm telling you, that caught on me. I got to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, he didn't lose his life, you understand. Thank God he gave it. Amen. He laid his life down and he took it back up. I'm saying this to you, friend, who gave himself for us. Oh, what a blessing. I'll tell you this. Sean, all we are is pintos in this church. Amen. All of us rusted out. Ain't got no engine. Our frames broke and beyond repair. But thanks be unto God. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that looked down on a whole bunch of pintos and would trade the best he had in heaven and would trade it for our sins. Amen. Oh, you understand, at the heart of salvation is redemption. And there's a price that had to be paid. And at the heart of redemption is substitution. And you couldn't pay the price. And so somebody had to come on your behalf who could. Amen. And so thank God. And God gave his own self. And the Father willed it. And the Son gave it. And the Spirit leads us to it. And we come in the house of God, lost without hope in Christ. But thanks be unto God. There was somebody who substituted his life for my life. And you'll just have to excuse me if ever now and again I get happy about it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I know we sit in the house of God and we ain't happy about it much anymore.
Yeah.
But there'll be a day we'll be happy about it.
Yes.
You remember when you was happy about it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I remember when I was happy about it. I remember when I found out about it. You remember when you found out about it? You remember when, listen, look at me, friend. You remember when amazing grace was still amazing, amen? When victory in Jesus still seemed like victory? When it wasn't just the black words on the white book? And thank God you got to reading about John 3:16 and you got to quoting to yourself and you said, "For God so loved the world and that he gave his only begotten son." You still remember when that done something for you, amen? But now in our day where we're at, thank God that doesn't stir us up too much. But I'll tell you this, it never has stirred up this outer man. But there's somebody on the inside. And you get to reminding him about what he deserved. And you get to reminding him about where he was going. And you get to reminding him about the hopelessness that he had. And then thank God you remind him again about what the Lord Jesus Christ did. I'm telling you the effect that it had. He's delivered me from this present evil world. And Paul said, "Y'all going to have to leave me alone for a second." He said, "To whom be glory forever." And he must have been preaching in a Baptist church. Wasn't nobody helping him. And so he said, "Amen himself." Amen. He said, "Thank God. Thank God." He said, "To whom be glory." Amen. Thank God. I mean, sometimes we ought to get excited about salvation. Hey, I'll tell you this. I mean, it's still good news, don't you think? It was good news when you got saved. If you're here and you ain't saved, it's good news still today. I mean, it'll still stir you up every now and again. It'll still get right down there to where you live. There's folks here, no doubt, and you're lost without hope in Christ. I've got good news for you, friend. You'll never make it to heaven on your own merits. But you ain't got to. Amen. That's the good news. God gave 613 commandments, and you couldn't keep them, and I couldn't either. Amen. And so what we could not do, because we was weak in the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and in the flesh I condemn sin in the flesh. Amen. I mean, that's pretty special. Amen. I mean, listen, he said, "I don't know about everybody else. I get thinking about him giving himself for me." So they'll do something. I told you this before. I read this. It's been a long time ago, but it still makes me happy. And some of you ain't never heard it. And the rest of you, I've been here for 9 years. You'll hear the same story every now and again. I'll never forget about reading back in the 1800s. Said in one of them, I think it was up in Chicago, Illinois, best of my memory. Chicago, Illinois, said that there was a fire broke out. And so there's a little orphan boy. He was living with his grandmother. And the fire got to destroying the whole building. Said that his grandmother went back up after him, but she died in the smoke. And said there he was sitting in the window. And said a fellow just come out, a little fireman, ran up that thing. Said got a hold of him, drug him out the window. And the little orphan boy got brought before the court system, trying to figure out who he was going to live with. And it said that they brought up a doctor. And they said this doctor would raise him right. He's able to provide for him. And said he just kept looking at the ground. I said over there was the farmer. And the farmer said, I'll take him and I'll teach him how to work hard. And it said he just kept looking at the ground. But said all of a sudden the voice come in. And said whenever he looked up at that fella, he said, that's who I want to go with. He said those burns and those scars on his hand, where he gave and was willing to give his life to rescue me. He said, that's who I want to go live with. I'm telling you, thank God. I get to thinking about what Lord Jesus Christ had done on the cross of Calvary. That's why that's why Michael Jordan doesn't do nothing for me. Amen. That's why Babe Ruth had never done nothing for me. That's why LeBron James ain't never done nothing for me. That don't even get me stirred up. But oh, you get to talking about the one who came down from heaven, who came onto the earth, who went up to Calvary's cross, who bare my sins and yours. I thank God and still said, it's finished. That does something for me. Amen. Not for me when I was at my best. You understand that? Ain't that at your worst? Hey, so I believe I'll shout her out on that one. Well, the third time, I want you to look with me, and if you got your Bibles there and you're still tuned in with where I'm at, I'm hoping. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. My quoting memory ain't working today. We're just going to read them all. How's that? Amen. I know where they're at. Amen. Thank God. Hey, I know where they're located. Hey, you know, I've a frequent in these scriptures of many a times. Boy, thank God I'm glad in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I could read any part of it and it'd be good. Preach any part of it and it'd be even better. I want you to watch what he says here. Verse number 16 is where I'm going to start. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Notice verse 18. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'll tell you this, I thank God. We ought to give him glory when we think about creation. We ought to give him glory when we think about salvation. We ought to give him glory when we think about preservation. Amen. Anybody glad you're preserved? Amen. Thank God. Hey, listen, we're preserved, not pickled. Amen. I mean, I thank God for the believers in Christ that are born again. I mean, truly got their names written in the last book of life. I'm glad we're preserved. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you where I'm preserved at. Jude 1:1 says so. Preserved in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty good preservation place. Y'all agree with that? Yep. I'll tell you how you're preserved. And over there in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, I think it is. He said, I pray God, he sanctify you, holy mind, body, and spirit. He said, present you and preserved blameless in the sight of God. That's pretty good. Listen, I'll tell you what the Lord done for you. Nobody get excited. I know you'll have to hold on to yourself. But I'll tell you what the Lord done for you. He saved you. Washed you in his own blood. Amen. Put the righteousness of God on you. Amen. And as soon as he done it, when you was in a blameless state, he preserved you that way for all of eternity.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. So how do you know? Well, he sealed us once he preserved us. That right? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, somewhere in that neck of the woods. Said, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you're sealed till the day of redemption. I'll tell you even better than that. You say, well, how long is that? In Psalms chapter 37, verse 28, it tells it. He said he has preserved his saints forever.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
How long is that?
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody help me in define forever. Amen. Y'all know how long forever is? It's forever a little while. Forever a pretty good while. Forever for half your life. Come on now, help me on that one. How long's forever? Right, now listen, I grew up in Scott County. Forgive my education. But I'll tell you this, I know how long forever is.
Yeah.
For, how long is it? Forever's without beginning and without ending. Amen. Never been a starting point, never been an ending point. You say, how in the world did you get something forever? I got in somebody that is forever. Amen. I mean, that's how that works. Thank God he's from eternity past, he's from eternity future. That's why when I got in Christ, I got everything he had. Eternity past up to eternity future. I know I don't look like I'm preserved, but thank God I get excited that I'm preserved. Listen, I've said it before, I'll tell you again, I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Amen. Preserved. Smile at me on that.
That's good.
I can't trip up and fall into hell. I can't mess up and go into hell.
Thank you, Lord. Thank God.
Amen. There would have been more people happy about that in this church. I'll tell you this, if the first time you messed up, you died and went to hell, you'd have done went to hell probably 15 minutes after you got saved. And you sure enough wouldn't have made it this far.
Right.
Oh, Paul stands right there and he says, I'll tell you what, he's going to preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Then he calls for a praise break. Says, to whom be glory? He said, I think I just ought to stop right there. And just give him a little glory for the fact that he's preserved me. I'll tell you, listen, I don't want to get off too much on this, but I'll tell you this. It feels pretty good whenever you know how you're kept, amen. I mean, the Bible said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. John 10:29. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them from my Father's hand. I mean, listen, I'm kept in Christ, amen. I'm glad Peter says it like this. I'm kept by the power of God, amen. I'll say it again, thank God, I'm glad I'm kept world without end, ages upon ages. I'm kept eternally in Christ Jesus. And I thank God for it. All right, well, listen, let me give you this last thing. You get happy about the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, in your man book of Hebrews. Keep going left. Paul, he's pretty excited. He got thinking about salvation. He said, I probably ought to give him glory about that. Think about creation. I probably ought to give him a little glory. You ever gave him glory for your salvation? Keep it to yourself most of the time, you think?
Amen.
You ever just been happy that God preserved you? I mean, I'm glad. Listen, I don't have to give penance and I ain't going to purgatory. I ain't never bought the first indulgence. Somebody help me on that. If you don't know what that is, I mean, that's them Catholics. They buy indulgences to try to get some penance and try to pay down their time in purgatory. I ain't never had to purchase one. Not one. Hey, thank God. Never have had to. Somebody ought to go up them rascals and sing that song, Jesus Paid It All. Amen. Done paid the whole thing.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
You ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. You ain't got nothing to do with preservation. No. You ain't had nothing to do with creation.
That's right.
I'll tell you two things that could happen. You ought to be able to enjoy it, and you ought to be able to rejoice in it.
Right. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. Watch this. Now, if you ain't probably shed, you probably ain't going to on this one, I'd say. Verse 20. Says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Apostle Paul got to thinking about sanctification.
Yep.
He said, I believe I'll shout on that one too.
Right.
We ain't got too many churches shouting on that one today. Paul said, I'll tell you what, here's what I can rejoice in. I can rejoice in the fact that everything that ever has been done that's been good, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that done it. It's Christ working in you, friend. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 1:6, being come to this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you ought to sit back and shout around that you ain't never had nothing good except what Christ has done for you. We got too many people taking too much credit in our day. I'll tell you how this thing works. It's like we're a tree. Thank God, listen, that tree's a vessel. It's the sap coming in that tree that makes the difference. That's what makes the blossoms and the blooms. Let that tree say that he don't need no sap and find out how long it's a tree. What about a steam engine? All them parts are good, but until that steam starts moving through them, they ain't no count. You know the same thing happens in the life of a Christian? Ain't nothing in none of us, no good, and our flesh dwells no good thing. But what he pulled in. Hey, listen. Yeah. If you got a good desire, you didn't have it on your own.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, if God left us to our own devices, we'd be stealing chickens before the morning.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we? Yeah. You say, not me, preacher. Oh, you'd probably steal more than that. Ain't none of us. None of us. And so we come to the house of God, and that's why we don't elevate men, and that's why we don't elevate women in our church.
Right.
Because listen, if the Holy Ghost ever withdrew himself, all we would be is empty vessels. He said, I think I'll just stop and give God glory for some of that. Let me say this to you. I'll tell you this. It'll be glory when you get where he's going. It'll be glory when you're doing what he wants you to do. And it'll be glory when you're being what God told you to be. I'm going to ask you this one question as we stand on our feet. Lester, come. Donnie, come. Get a song ready. I want to ask you simply this. Simply this. Is your life reflective of the glory of God that he deserves? I mean, when it comes to creation, are you appreciative of what the Lord's done? Salvation, preservation, all those things. Sanctification, are you thankful for that? Could the Lord look at your life today and say, that's a life that's given me glory for the things that I've done for it? If not, friend, we ought to get more serious with God about that.